a passage that we had read from John's Gospel, page 1083. 1083. And it'd be great help to me if you could follow with these words that are recorded reliably and transmitted to us so that we can read them today throughout the ages, just to check that what I'm saying is in agreement with what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. But let's just pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, the rock and the rescuer. Amen. Well, today we remember those who've given their lives for our freedom. And we've heard from Doris and Wendy that this is something that involved and still involves huge sacrifice, huge suffering. It's a moving thing, isn't it, to hear of men and women who laid down their lives for others in the cause of war, and those who continue to suffer the effects of their sacrifice. Those who laid down their lives shed their blood for our freedom. Of course, Jesus was no stranger to such sacrifice. In verse 13, he said these words, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." But Jesus was not talking of war. He was talking to his disciples who were with him in the upper room before he went to the cross, a sacrifice he knew he must make with his blood. He knew he must go to be nailed to that block of wood and die to make his friends, his disciples, clean, as he put it in the earlier chapter of John 13. He shed his blood for their freedom from the just judgment of God. He shed his blood so that they could be renewed and at peace with God. It was the only way they could know this, by laying down his life for them. And Jesus taught them that he was showing them what God's love is like. So look with me at verse 9. He says, "As the Father, God the Father, has loved me, so have I loved you." His sacrifice of love on the cross shows us what God is really like. God's love is seen in the death of Jesus in our place. And so he commands his followers, those who were following him then and now, in verse 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." So if we're a Christian here this morning, how are we laying down our life for other Christians, like Jesus laid down his life for his friends? What sacrifices are you making to show his love to others? This is his command. Love one another as I have loved you. We are his friends. We know that, don't we, as Christians? We know that we have peace with God. But as his friends, we are to have a love like his love that dies for others. Goes that far. But what if we're not friends of Jesus Christ here this morning? What if we do not think much of him and his commands? And that's certainly where I was for the first 18 years of my life. Maybe even like me, you shake your fist at God, or as I did. How can he be a God of love? Maybe suffering has made us bitter, and we simply look out on the wars of the world and conclude there cannot be a loving God. No, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Thankfully, God's love doesn't wait for us to make peace with him. He doesn't wait for us to sort of spruce up our lives and get them in order. He loves us when we are still his enemies, as we all are by nature. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, still rebels, still suppressing any thought of God because we'd prefer him not to exist, he still loves us. He lays down his life so he might know us. He bleeds and dies to make peace between us and God. He loves even his enemies. He died our death, taking our punishment for the war that we have instigated against God so that we might be at peace with God. Now, wouldn't this be a wonderful thing if we could know the God who made the universe, be loved by the God of the universe? Not by trying to be good. We know that we can't do that. We fail even our own standards, don't we? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be at peace with God? And this is no pipe dream. Through trusting in Jesus Christ, asking him to make peace between us and God, we can know God's powerful, intervening love in our lives. I've known this. There's loads of people here who've known God's powerful, intervening love in our histories. And if you're yet to be somebody who would call themselves a Christian, can I encourage you? Is it not worth finding out about that? Peace with God. So as we remember today those who laid down their lives, it is also right that we remember the testimony of those who led them in the war. And their testimony was that God's intervening love through Jesus Christ was something they witnessed even in war, even in the life of our nation. It's real. Winston Churchill said this: "I sometimes have a feeling of interference." I want to stress that. "I have a feeling sometimes that some guiding hand has interfered." He wasn't a Christian, but he recognized that something was guiding him. It wasn't just his brilliance, brilliant man as he was. Air Chief Marshal Sir Hugh Dowding, who led the Battle of Britain, said this: "But I say with absolute conviction that I can trace the intervention of God, not only in the battle itself, but in the events leading up to it." Field Marshal Montgomery said this: "On this day of victory in Europe, we all have a feeling of great joy and thankfulness that we have been preserved to see this day. We must remember to give praise and thankfulness where it is due. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." See, sacrifice does bring freedom, but it is the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ that brings ultimate freedom. Amen. We're now going to sing of this wonderful, powerful, intervening love, the love of God that is mighty and powerful and therefore has kept our nation over many centuries, inspired so many people